Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the Prison Ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all of my brothers and sisters tonight. Thank you for tuning in. I'd like to give a special shout out to the Halava Friday Chapel and Berean Boys, and to the brothers that assist us all the time at our, every other month we go in for our praise and worship concert. And they help us every Friday at chapel, and also when we come up there on the third Wednesdays. Thank you, my brothers, for all your kukua. Up in Waiava, Module 10, Cash Box Program Boys, and all of the brothers that meet us there on the first, second, and fourth Wednesdays. Going to be coming up there tomorrow night to share some time with you. I'd like to give a shout out to our Maui brothers up there at Waiava also. Now at FDC, we've got our Sunday Saints. Keep marching on, Sunday Saints. Had a wonderful time with you this past Sunday. Keep up the good work. Keep the faith. At OCCC, we have Module 18, spent some time with you this past Saturday. Annex 1, I apologize, we couldn't get there that evening. We're up at Halava doing the praise and worship concert up in the Halava Chapel that you might be familiar with. And last night, we were able to share some time with the women in Module 4. Thank you for those that were there, that paid attention, that came with the right spirit, the right mind, and the right heart. And also a special shout out to Module 11, Brother Dave, holding down the fort down there with the brothers in their Bible study. Keep the faith, my brothers. Going to try and get there Saturday after men's conference. I'm going to get there and share some time with you, God willing. It's all in His time, not our time. Also want to give a shout out, I guess you'd call this a preemptive shout out, to the women out at WCCC, looking so forward to going there this Thursday evening. My wife and I will be out there for the first time. It's an answer to over 2 years of prayers that we get access to that facility. Looking so much to getting out there with you guys. Want to give a big shout out and mahalo to Chaplain Bonnie, Chaplain Tammy, and Ms. Wilcock for helping us schedule that. We're going to be up in the Mauna Willi Chapel, hoping to have a wonderful time in the Lord up there. And I wanted to make an announcement. Coming up this Saturday is a men's conference that's coming up on this Saturday. And it's going to be right here in town in Kalihi at Kalihi Union Church. Now that's on right across from New City Nissan in Kalihi. So it's on the Eva side of King Street, down in the beginning part, way in the front part over there, right by New City Nissan. That's Kalihi Union Church, 2214 North King Street. The name of this conference is Calling All Men, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. This is a men's conference focused on ex-convicts and ex-drug addicts, but training them to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be starting at 8 a.m., goes on to 1:30 p.m. 7:30 a.m. is our registration. Free. Did I say free? I think I said free. And it includes lunch. Admission and lunch free. So it's at a great price. From Victory Outreach Las Vegas, we have Pastor Benny Jacques. And this conference is for you. He's coming all the way from Las Vegas. And it's going to help those of you or someone that you know. The purpose of this conference is helping those. What do you do when you get out of prison? What happens when you're clean? What's next? Well, they're going to help you. And they're going to help you find your mission in life through Jesus Christ. Some of the speakers they have an all-star lineup coming this Saturday. Pastor Mike Archibald from One Love. Pastor Claudio Borgia from Jesus Christ, the Chief Cornerstone. Pastor Luigi Figueroa from Reflame Ministries. Pastor Guy Capelliella from Hope Chapel, Second City, formerly with Hope Chapel, Olomana. The one Don O'Brien affectionately calls the Moke Church. We have Pastor Kimo Matsumoto from the Powerhouse Church. Pastor Sean Nakamoto, New Hope Aloha Paole, Pastor James Panetta, Fishers of Men Third Day, Pastor Eddie Romo from River of Life International, Pastor Gary Shields from Victory Ohana, Pastor Jonathan Steeper from Kalihi Union Church, Pastor Curtis Suzaki from Zion Ipuka, and Pastor Tony Velasco from Victory Outreach. They're going to have great fellowship, going to have great worship, great lunch, great breakout sessions. Once again, everyone, if you know any man that's been recently released or has come out of prison or being incarcerated, this Saturday, April 13th, registration is 7:30 a.m. The conference is from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Kalihi Union Church. If you have any questions, call Pastor Eddie at 845-9944 or go to their website, www.kalihiunion.org. I think that's going to be a blessed time for anyone that goes to attend. You can never get enough information, especially when it's of godly counsel from godly men. I want to thank my brothers for allowing me the opportunity to broadcast that's available to everyone. And moving forward, I want to remind you that our mission at Free Inside Ministry, it's our prison ministry. We have a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the broken, the lost, and the incarcerated, to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in the facilities on Oahu and also in Saguaro, Arizona. In fact, we're heading to Arizona the first week of May to spend time with our brothers there, to minister with them, to praise our Lord, to worship our God together, arm in arm, hand in hand. We have a website, www.freeinsideministry.org, where you can find all of our radio broadcasts available for your listening enjoyment, or if you'd like to download them, that's available also, and they're all free. We also have a Facebook page, Free Inside Ministry, and we do have an email, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. Drop me a line, send me a note, or give me a suggestion how I might improve the program, or let me know if this program has touched anyone in your ohana, anyone you know, or if that the word has been encouraging for you at a time when you've been down and out. Our anchor verse for this program and for our ministry, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for hope and a future. And it goes on to say in verses 12 through 14 in the 29th book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. Tonight's word that I wanted to share with you, my beloved, for those of you tuning in, this is Free Inside Ministry. It's on 99.5 FM, The Word, 9:30 to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday evenings. Tonight's message, the word that the Lord had placed upon me to share, is basically one word: adversity. Well, what does that mean, Brother Bula? Well, the book definition that you would find if you were to look up the word adversity, it means a state of hardship or affliction or misfortune. It means a calamitous event. It means when circumstances or a situation work against you, you face adversity. Other words or synonyms, not cinnamon buns, synonyms for adversity would be bad break, bummer, can of worms, crunch time, disaster, downer, hard times, hard knocks, ill fortune, jinx, misfortune, tough luck, trouble, suffering. You get the idea. Maybe where you're sitting right now at this very moment, you're dealing with adversity. Maybe right now at this very moment when you're hearing my voice to you this evening, you're dealing with a situation. Maybe tonight you're in your bed or your bunk and you're dealing with a circumstance. You're dealing with an event. You're dealing with something that's a state of hardship. Well, there's hope for you, my brothers and my sisters. My beloved, there is hope. I just told you Jeremiah 29:11. That's a promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. Getting back to the message of adversity, there are many people in the Bible that had to deal with adversity. In fact, I think it's safe to say that as Christians, we have to deal with adversity more often than not. But the one person that I wanted to focus on, who I think, actually I feel down to the very core of my soul, one brother, one believer, one saint, that really had to deal with a lot, a lot of adversity, more so, excuse me, more so than the normal person, would have to be Job. If you return to the book of Job, I wanted to share with you tonight how he had to deal with adversity and what set him up to deal with that situation. And in the end, how the Lord blessed him. Because a lot of times, my beloved, my brothers and sisters, we sit there and we say, why me, why me, why me? Well, a good Christian will say, why not me? Why not me? Why not me? You see, we always look at the difficulty in the opportunity, but God looks at the opportunity in the difficulty. You might be going through a very difficult time right now, and that's all you see. The Lord sees an opportunity in this difficult time that you're going through. If you go to the book of Job in chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 1. I'll be jumping around to give you a gist, to give you a grasp, to give you something to put your arms around, to sink your teeth into, to set your feet in as a reference point. There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. One day, the members of verse 6, now I'm going to jump down. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord. And the accuser, or Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. And then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put his property. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, says the Lord. Do whatever you want with him, Satan. Take everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. Now this is really wild. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with the news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I'm the only one who escaped. to tell you. Whoa, that's unbelievable. But before he can even comprehend that, verse 16, while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Whoa. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Wow, man. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters are feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. That's unbelievable. We start off with the donkeys and the oxen. Then he gets hit with the sheep and all the shepherds. Then he gets hit with the camels and the servants. And then finally his kids, his sons and daughters. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. I'm going to take a pause right there. How many of us are in a situation where we've dropped to our knees while being incarcerated, say in Wai'ava? Maybe you're in your cell in Palava. Could be at OCCC, maybe even FTC, maybe even the WCCC or Saguaro, Arizona. How many of us have fell to our knees to worship our Lord? How many of us have said, praise the name of the Lord, as we're sitting there incarcerated? How many of us have not blamed, I said not, N-O-T, that means no with a T, have not blamed God for our situation? Don't raise your hand, that's about all of you. The Lord sees your heart. But Job had just lost everything. He had lost everything. The donkeys, the oxen, he had 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys, boom, they got whacked. They were the first ones gone. Then the sheep, he had 7,000 sheep. And all the shepherds, boom, they were gone. And then the camels, he had 3,000 camels, boom, they was gone. Then his 7 sons and 3 daughters, boom, they was gone. He had nothing. He had nothing. But yet he drops to his knees and praises the name of the Lord and did not blame God for any adversity that he was dealing with. Amen. Now we go to Job's second test. We might be doing Job for tonight and tomorrow night because there's a lot of meat here and I want to make sure we get a lot of it. So now Job's second test, chapter 2. One day the members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And he has maintained his integrity, even though you urged me to harm him without cause. Satan replied to the Lord, skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right. Do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan, but spare his life. So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. Now Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Ooh, Time out. What a loving wife. You know, when they say till death do we part, she doesn't have to help the situation any. But in verse 10 in chapter 2 in the book of Job, but Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Now you got to realize Job has just lost everything and now he's got boils, those big juicy bubbles all over him from head to toe. It's so itchy, he's scraping it with a piece of broken pottery sitting amongst the ashes of everything of what he once had or owned. It's so bad that his wife comes out and asks him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." Such love from that woman, huh? Check that out. This is the same woman that when he was the most richest man in the area, she stood proudly by his side. When he had his 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, servants, 7 sons, 3 daughters. When he was the richest man in the entire area, do you think she would tell him at that point, curse God and die? I don't think so. I think she was living in lavishness. I think she was living a life of luxury. But as soon as calamity strikes, as soon as adversity hits, as soon as they cut her line to going to Macy's and the mall, everything turns bad. Now she can no longer shop till you drop. She does not have the expensive Louis Vuitton bags. She's not driving her Bentley anymore. Everything is gone. But she still has her husband, Job. She still has the father of her 10 children. She still has the man who was the richest man in the entire area, but he's suffered some adversity. So she comes out and in full regalia says, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." She basically wants her husband to die. I can't believe it. Job, I love Job. I love his attitude. I love his demeanor. I love his state of mind. He tells her, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only the good things from this hand of God and never anything bad?" I love that. Many times, the only time we pray is when we're in trouble. I want to tell you, my beloved, if the only times that you pray is when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. Amen? See, we've got to be able, we have to train ourselves, we have to condition ourselves, we have to position ourselves in a framework, in a mindset where we praise the Lord all the time. We praise the Lord when we're happy, we praise the Lord when we're sad, we praise the Lord when it's good, we praise the Lord when it's bad. Everything, up, down, sideways, right, left, reverse, forward, we praise the Lord. You see, because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend what the Lord has planned for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Job has lost everything in his life. Every material possession is now gone, gone. He's lost his family except for his loving, may I say that? Loving wife who wishes he were dead. But the one thing he holds on to, the one thing he has a solid grasp on, the one thing he is not letting go of is his faith in God. Now, I don't know how you are about your situation. I don't know how you deal with your adversity. If you're like anybody else, like me, we start blaming God when things don't go right. We start putting the blame game all on him. You know, forget that it would be about our shortcomings. Forget it would be about our sins. Forget that it would be about our transgressions. We start blaming God. Because you know what? That's our little mind thinking. That's our manini mindset. Instead of thanking God for adversity, it's because through the adversity, we can appreciate the blessings. It's through the incarceration that you appreciate the liberation, that you go from behind those walls to outside on the other side of those. where you can appreciate freedom. The true freedom that you seek, the true freedom that you need, is not the freedom from the incarceration. It's the freedom from the sin that bonds your heart right now as we speak, my brothers and sisters. The freedom that you need is the release of the bondage of that sin, the sin of unforgiveness, the sin of resentment, the sin of anger, the sin of lustfulness, the sin. It's just there. You've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. Those bars aren't what keeping you locked up. Your heart is what's keeping you locked up. The bitterness, the resentment, the anger, that's all growing inside of you. Oh, my beloved, I want to thank you for putting up with me tonight, because I know this message is going to hit someone right between the eyes. Instead of looking how bad it is, look at how good it is. Don't look at the difficulty of the opportunity. Look at the opportunity in the difficulty. That's what God does. God's going to take this time that you have with him. He's going to try and change your life. He's going to try and show you what he has for you. But it takes two to tango, my brothers and sisters. He's reaching out to you. Are you reaching out to him? You see, Jesus can't come back to earth yet. It'll be really ugly when he does. So he uses people like myself, the volunteers, the pastors that come into the prison, to reach out for him, to you. We're just reaching out. We're not preaching. We're not teaching. We're just trying to reach to you on behalf of Jesus Christ. Oh, hold on to him. Call him your Lord and Savior. We're going to continue with Job tomorrow night. I bless all of you in the name of Jesus. Get some rest. Wake up with a great attitude tomorrow. God bless you.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.